Is the CBD in Tauranga in crisis? Lots of cities discussing this at the moment, but of course it has had a particular situation with respect to plans for the CBD. Are they progressing, and what are businesses saying in the meantime? Alicia Evans is a local democracy reporter from the Western Bay of Plenty. She's with Sun Media. Kia ora, Alicia.
Kia ora, how are you?
Good, thank you. So just how bad is it getting for many businesses?
Yes, so the Main Street chairman there has said that the CBD is in crisis. There's lots of empty buildings. I think at least around 30 or so in the CBD, and businesses are just really sort of struggling for these customers. And they've said, even the chairman, Brian Berry, he said that it's dead down there. So pretty tricky for them. And I mean, there's lots of construction going on, and we've got a $304 million civic precinct underway, but that's 4 or 5 years away before that's done and it starts to pull people in. So the businesses are sort of saying, what do we do in the meantime? How do we attract these customers? We really need to get some business going here, so pretty tricky.
It sounds a little bit like what Queen Street in Auckland went through, with a lot of work happening, and in the meantime people can't get to or don't want to or avoid certain blocks of the city. I think we've talked previously about that massive plan that is underway, and is this a key part of it, or is it adjacent to what's going on?
I think it's adjacent to. The CBD has been having troubles for quite a while. I mean, over COVID, it got quite difficult too. And one of the biggest problems is, you know, there's five other shopping areas in the city. There's a, you know, population of about 160,000 people. So quite hard to sustain that. And all those other shopping places, they have free parking. The CBD recently reintroduced paid parking, albeit sort of $2 an hour. So not a huge expense. But it was to try and alleviate. They had that free parking trial, and they've added the paid parking back in because there was just staff members and CBD workers sort of parking in these parks all day, playing like a little car park juggle, shifting their cars around. And so they wanted to try and encourage that turnover. But what businesses have noticed is now they've just got empty car parks. So there's car park turnover, but no people coming in to sort of fill those car parks and visit the businesses.
Are there some issues with crime or antisocial behaviour? Again, many central cities dealing with this at the moment.
Yes, and they have said that you've got CBD workers, they finish their shifts and they're afraid to walk their cars alone, they've said. Intimidation, people going in and intimidating and making threats towards retailers, as well as, you know, people walking around. So, yeah, and, you know, a little bit of crime and theft and things like that as well, happening, shoplifting. So,
What do the businesses want? Because, of course, you're in the strange situation. You've still got a commission in place, right? So what do the businesses want as a kind of a response to this? And has there been any, you know, communication?
So the downtown Tauranga, which is like the kind of organisation that represents all the businesses, they had a meeting with they've met with council and the police and things. They haven't really said what they want. It was kind of just reporting on what had happened. So I'm not sure what the long-term solution is, because there is a lot of construction and things like that. I think they definitely want a bigger police presence in the CBD. They've asked, you know, for the police to do some walk-arounds and maybe take different routes if they're coming back from a job or something and going through the CBD, to kind of create a bit of awareness that they are there. But in terms of how to get businesses thriving again, I'm not really sure what the solution is there.
What is the story, please, and the status of the Waiari water plant?
Yes, so it's been running since December, but it had its official opening last week, so they cut the ribbon. And the problem is iwi, Tapuika iwi, they've sort of expressed their concerns that the water, it's coming from Te Puke, but it's being used in Papamoa and Mount Maunganui, so it's not benefiting mana whenua in any way. And they're also worried about the sustainability of the take, how much water's being taken and how long that's going to be sustainable for, because the stream levels are going down, and it's an issue that regional council have noticed as well. It's something they've been monitoring, and even though we've had lots of rainfall, the water coming from those water tables is actually a lot older, so it's not being replenished by that rain. So, yeah, the iwi are quite worried about the sustainability of that.
And it's been a big project. There's been a big investment in it, financial investment.
Yes. So the plant cost $197 million, and back in 2016, it was budgeted $114 million, so it's $83 million over budget. I mean, it is to kind of serve Tauranga for the next 30 years, so the investment is a long-term one. But yeah, quite a big investment.
How long in the making, and is it also, I guess, a feature of Tauranga's very rapid and substantial growth in recent years?
Yes, so I think plans started back in 2008. They started talking about the resource consent, and then they got resource consent, I think it was 2010 or 2011. And yeah, I think it has been about 7 years to build and get organised because there's obviously different parts. You've got the treatment plant, you've got where the water comes from on the Waiari stream. Yeah, but I think everyone's happy that it's got to this point.
Now, bridges, it's the story everywhere, isn't it, at the moment? The Te Puke Bridge, what's been the story? Was it impacted with the awful cyclone coming through?
Yeah, it was slightly before the cyclone. I'm on anniversary week and we had some really severe weather, and the bridge got washed away then. I think it was around January
That's
29.
the Auckland, remember when the big storm came through Auckland? Was it the same storm?
Yes, yeah. So we caught that quite badly here in the bay as well. And it washed away the bridge on Number 4 Road. So about 30 properties were affected. They had some minor access through like a private access way and a paper road. But the Bailey Bridge was installed mid-March. They're all very happy about it. There's orchards up on that section of the road, and they were all quite worried that they wouldn't have a bridge in time for kiwifruit season to get their kiwifruit picked and packed. And they're all pretty happy. I spoke to a couple of orchardists, and they said if they hadn't have been able to get that kiwifruit out, they could have lost about $4 million in revenue. So yeah, they're all pretty happy that that bridge is there and they're able to have truck and trailer access to, which they were worried they might not be able to. So makes the kiwifruit season a lot easier for them.
It's a big kiwifruit growing area, is there? Are there quite a, obviously it is, but in this particular connection, needing this bridge, what, dozens of orchardists potentially?
Yeah, they said, I think they estimated there's about 200 hectares of
Wow.
kiwifruit on that little like section of the road. So yeah, I think, and if all of that wasn't able to be picked, I think it was going to be about $15 to $20 million worth of profit that they could be potentially losing. So it's council, Western Bay Council, worked really hard to get this bridge in place before that kiwifruit season started, and yeah, everyone's pretty happy that it's there.
Well, the Bailey Bridges are welcome wherever they are. Any word on what might be a permanent replacement and when?
So that is quite a while away. They haven't sort of said what the permanent replacement will be or where exactly on the stream it will be, but it's, I think, around at least a year to 18 months away, maybe even 2 years. They're sort of working on those plans now.
Thanks very much for that. Alicia Evans is in the Western Bay of Plenty. She's a local democracy reporter. She works with Sun Media.